This is a teaching church. That's what it is. We present it. You listen to it. You either accept it, believe it, or don't believe it. And we don't think any more or less of you if you don't. Now, I think I can speak for them. We want you to believe it. And we believe it. And when we find out we've taught something wrong, we just admit it. It's hard. You take a big gulp and say, I was wrong, and go on. I lost count of the times I've done that. But in these last days, I think if there's something we really ought to talk about is how all of this has worked from the Old Testament with the beginning, the very beginning, up until the very end of it. And we were told in the last days we would understand a lot of things that we didn't understand. Now, most of you, when you got saved, I didn't say all of you, and it's not absolutely necessary that you understand what the church is and all the stuff that we're teaching now. After salvation occurs, but you need to listen to what we're preaching, because I think I can speak for all three of us, and I think I can say we're doing the very best we know how to respond to God. And if so we teach something wrong, it's certainly not God's fault. You don't know how many tearful hours I've spent over there at the house, and I'm not trying to make myself look good, praying and asking God, I don't want to teach this, Lord, if it's not right. And I don't teach something until I'm sure of it. And because I'm a human being, even after I was sure of it, I'll tell you if I was wrong. Now, I'm going to talk about something that has to do with the local church. You may learn some things you never knew before. We have taught in this, every Baptist preacher that's preached in this church that I know of has taught this, that salvation is by grace. Period. No exceptions. I think we all agree on this. Chuck Trusty, I think we all agree on it. Now, all the preachers, Baptist preachers that ever taught in this preach before I even came here, way back at the beginning, the first pastor they ever had, they have taught that baptism is not a sacrament. They've all taught that, every one of them. But how often have we taught you what a sacrament is? It's not a sacrament. It's an ordinance. You say, well, those are just words. Yeah, that's what the Bible is, the Word of God. And those things are ordinances. Okay? Now, what is baptism? It's an ordinance. It's not a sacrament. You can't add. Every preacher we've ever had in this church that I know of believed that you could not add to Christ's righteousness. No matter how hard you try, you could not do it. I teach that, and I'll teach it till I die unless I can find something in the Scripture that contradicts with it. So, what is a sacrament? It adds to Christ's salvation. It means that you can do good works before you're saved, and they'll be probably added right on in after you get saved. Or that after you get saved, every time you do a good work yourself, good old me, why, it'll be added to Christ's salvation. That is not true. You say, well, where did that all start? I didn't bring my Bible up here. Bring me your Bible, will you? Probably some more. You did, Rosie. Did you see how much this church has gone downhill?
Hey, we're on the last leg.
Listen, Rosie, stay and help us catch up.
Now, don't forget, this is Charlie's.
I know it. It's not all written up. It's crystal clear. Good grief, Charlie! Don't you ever write in your Bible? Wait a minute. Let's just start off here and see who brought their Bible. No, I'm not going to do that. They used to do that and it embarrassed me, so I finally started bringing mine. Let's see. That was when I was a teenager. Where do I want to go over here? Well, bum, 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 bum. Let's go over here. This won't take, you don't have to have your Bible with you to understand it. It's pretty plain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's Galatians 2:20. Well, guess what that is? That's the last verse in chapter 3. Last verse in chapter 3. You know there are no chapter divisions in the original writing of the Bible. That's a fact. So let's just continue and go right on down into chapter 3, the first verse. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among us? He was crucified for us. He was crucified among us. He says, this only would I learn of you. He said, just tell me this one thing. Received ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Well, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? After you get saved, you're not made perfect by the flesh. You were made perfect by the flesh, by the sacrifice and the faith of Jesus Christ. Guess what it says before in Genesis, before Genesis 3:21. And I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you think you can lose your salvation, you are miserable. Because how much do you have to do? How much do you have to add? Look what he says in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Hey, I was crucified with Christ the moment I received him as my Savior. Nevertheless, I live. Hey, I'm still here. I'm still talking to you. I'm still preaching. I'm teaching the truth. I'm not afraid of going to hell. I'm afraid of the judgment seat of Christ and the heritage that I have waiting for me there. I don't want to lose any of it. That's why baptism is not a sacrament. It does not add to God's faith. The Galatians were beginning to lose, their salvation, and they were beginning to think it was a matter of them adding to Christ's faith or they would still go to hell. You say, well, I'm glad people don't believe that anymore. The Church of Christ believes it. Assembly of God believes it. Pentecostal Church believes it. And you want a biggie? The Catholic Church believes it. You say, you shouldn't say anything about the Catholic Church. I know. What do you mean I shouldn't say anything about them? You mean that they're teaching that you have to increase your righteousness after you're saved or you'll go back to hell. Galatia didn't do it. Eventually that heresy spread through the whole church. And I'm going to prove it to you today. And I think this is one of the reasons God in the last days has decided, I can't say that for sure. I want them to know this last generation, in these last days, and I think that's exactly why in the last days the ashes of the red heifer were supposed to be made very clear. And I think that Leonard and Kenneth and myself have been taught of God, and I believe that we are completely unrighteous in the flesh. I believe that we cannot add to the righteousness of Christ, nor do I believe that we can add to the sacraments. They're not sacraments, they're maintenance. But I'm going to show you that this morning, and I'm going to let you decide for yourself. Some of you have been going to church for a long, long time at a lot of different places, and some of you have grown up and you've wondered about a lot of different things. You had good parents or bad parents or in-between parents or whatever, but you've wondered about a lot of different things. Welcome to the club. So did I. The night I got saved, did I know baptism was not a sacrament? No, I didn't know that. Did I know that the Lord's Supper ordinances, they're not a sacrament? They don't add to Christ's salvation. Did I know that the night I got saved? No, I didn't. You say, whose fault was it? I don't know. I just know what I knew. Suspect it was probably because I didn't listen very well. But I'm going to show you where some of this came from, and I wanted to go back to the church at Galatia. This is one of the first churches. And then I want to show you the ashes of the red heifer, and I want to show you something that will help you to find rest in Christ. I'm going to preach on something next Sunday morning, Lord willing. And quite frankly, it's going to shock you. But it's ironclad proof. And I hope you'll make a special point to be here when Leonard is teaching the Sunday school class. He's doing a wonderful job. And Kenneth and Leonard and I, we're learners. We'll tell you we're still learning. We'll tell you that God's leading us. We'll tell you sometimes we misinterpret, but we'll also tell you that the same God who put up with us misinterpreting also forgives us when we're trying to tell the truth. And one of the marks of an honest preacher is when he admits he's wrong. Now, I want us to go to past, present, future Red Heifer Series A. Now, I've already put a bunch of this on television, on the internet. I'm putting it on in phases. I'm putting it on over the whole earth because I believe it's true and I believe they need to hear it. Leonard has added to me. Kenneth has added to me. Chuck Trusty has added to me. Charlie Holloman has added to me. As a matter of fact, a lot of you that don't even realize it have added to me. You say, well, why is that important? Because they got what was added to them from the same God that added it to me. So if you don't take that attitude and you don't realize how weak you are and helpless, then you'll never find a joy in serving God. Did you ever listen to this real very carefully? Well, I'm going to do this next Sunday morning, so there's no sense in me getting into it. We're going to talk a little bit about number 3. I've already talked about it in the past. And then we're going to go into number 4 partially, and we'll continue that on next Sunday morning. And the approaching tribulation period. Listen, this thing is not far away. I have never told you a day, a week, a month, or a year. I have never done it. But I've told you time periods, and I'm telling you this thing is on your doorstep, and it's absolutely there, and whatever you intend to do with the Lord, for the Lord, or about the Lord, you better get at it. And I don't tell you that just trying to preach hellfire and brimstone. I tell you that because I love you. And God let me know it because He loves me. You say, well, why do you love Him? Why do I love Him? The Bible says because He first loved you. So you didn't have the ability to love Him until you came to realize that He loved you and gave Himself completely and utterly without reservation for you. Numbers 19, 1 through 5 is the ashes of the red heifer. I'm going to do the best I can to finish so we can go back there and eat. Because I think God likes for me to finish early. And I think it will make you more attentive, because I'm not that good a speaker. Numbers 19, 1 through 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance. Aha! The ordinance. You say, well, what's the sacrifice? Well, this is an ordinance. What is a sacrament? Well, that's a sacrifice by Jesus Christ personally Himself and all that He was and all that He is. For He's always been. He was Jehovah in Genesis 1:1. He became the seed in Genesis 3:15. He became the complete covering in Genesis 3:18. This is the ordinance of the law. What was it? It was a shadow of the law. Look over there. I'm not going to put it in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at it and see what it says. The law was a shadow. The law was a shadow. Of whom? God. In Genesis 1:16, he said he was going to take upon himself the form of a man, and he did. The seed. He took on the form of God himself as the seed of God, who offered all that he was for us. Hath commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, where there is no blemish, and upon which never had thee a yoke. I want you to listen carefully to this, because you've been here coming so long, you can do this better than I can. And that's no big deal, because some of you are more spiritual than I am. Some of you are more intelligent than I am. God chooses to reveal to his children what he wants them to know. But I want you to listen to something, and I want you to think about it, because God knows you've heard this. Let's just talk just for a second about Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and 2. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many times have you heard that? It's in there. Look at it. I came to Jesus Christ when I was 12 years old. I was laboring under a heavy burden of guilt and sin. I could not save myself, no matter how hard I tried. God knows I'd tried for 4 years. And I was raised by two of the finest Christian grandparents you'll ever find in the world. My mother was a Christian. But what was the problem? I was afraid of going to hell. That was my burden. And finally, after 4 years of convicting me, I yielded to God's Holy Spirit, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And I am absolutely positive he did, and I am absolutely positive it is eternal. And before I'm finished, I'll show you why. Now, whenever the next verse follows, God gave me that rest. What was it? The rest of absolute salvation. The rest of never losing it. I had that rest and it was wonderful. But afterwards, I still felt guilty every time I sinned. You say, well, you shouldn't have felt guilty. It was because of ignorance on my part. So what does the next verse say? Take my yoke upon you. Whose yoke? The one who just saved me eternally, Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, learn of me, learn of me. That's not a sacrament. That's an ordinance. That's why this red heifer is so important. Don't worry, the Hebrews didn't understand this either. And they admitted it. I've talked to many of them on airplanes and on the ground in Israel. They didn't understand this either. And they still don't. Even to this day, they still don't. The ashes of a red heifer. He says, the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, this is the ordinance of the law. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded thee, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, where there is no blemish, and on which never came yoke. Wait a minute. I just came out of Matthew 11, and it said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will stand before God, and if I'm wrong, I'll accept it." But that's when I got saved. And when I got saved, he didn't save part of me. He saved all of me. And he sealed my soul in Ephesians. And he sealed it eternally. And he said that I could not grieve his spirit. That's a fact. So that rest taught me. The Spirit taught me. Hey, you're mine. You say, well, he didn't teach me that. Well, you weren't listening. And to this day, you still don't want to listen. But listen. Now, am I going to hell? No. What do I have waiting for me in heaven? By this ordinance, I have a complete salvation. And I have a heritage, a heritage, a heritage, a full heritage waiting for me. So the next question is, how much of it do you want? Well, I came to understand how much I wanted. All of it. You say, how do you do that? He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age. That's what he said. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Heartily is ekpasike. You can say that backwards, can't you? Do it heartily. That means from the soul, from the heart, from the soul. That's what the word is. Pasike. Do it heartily. From the soul. I've got a saved soul. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Do it from the soul, as unto the Lord. Now I can do that. Now I can fight against the devil by the power of Christ within me. And yet it's not my power, it's his power. But I can run to him because he's my heavenly Father. He's a lot of other things. But I can do it. Can I do it perfectly? No. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, how much of that do I want? Well, you're here. Are you listening to this? Have you ever considered it? Have you ever thought about it? Do you think that you understood everything the moment you were saved that you were supposed to understand? Do you think you can live above sin? You have a very high opinion of yourself, and you better get out of that. You say, well, if I'm saved, I'm going to... Yes, but how much of a reward are you going to get when you get there because you were serving for the wrong reason? And you thought too highly of yourself, and you never humbled yourself before God and admitted you were helpless. Okay, let's go back over this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Okay. How much rest did you find after your soul was saved? What about the next one? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. How much rest did I find when I found that? I got baptized. But that's not a sacrament. I didn't add anything to my salvation. I obeyed God. You say, well, you didn't completely understand. I obeyed God. I obeyed him by the mercy that is in Christ Jesus. So that's behind me. Now, how much of that inheritance do I want? Well, how much do you really want? Well, the Lord's Supper is an ordinance. Many of you have never taken the Lord's Supper correctly in your life. You say, well, you're going to hurt my feelings. I hope I hurt your feelings to the depth of your soul until you finally wake up and realize that after you get saved, you're not supposed to serve God to be saved, but because you are saved. He said, so, you saved? Expect to be in heaven. But I want you to notice, the first rest was given to you. Remember what I just said? The first rest was given to you. The second rest you found. How much better did you feel about yourself after you found what Jesus taught you about the second rest? How much better did you feel? How much more secure did you feel? Don't tell me you didn't feel any more secure. You did, because you realized that God did the whole cotton picking thing all by Himself. Okay. So the first rest was great. The second rest was even better. But what did Jesus say followed His second rest? Listen to me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm finally at rest. I don't have to go to heaven to be at rest. I'm at rest. I discovered that Jesus not only saved me by grace through faith, He also was baptized for me by grace through faith, and He also kept every jot and tittle of the law. That's His commandments. And He did it for me. He did it for me. So listen, if you're sitting out there and figuring out ways to combat this, you're not fighting against me. You're fighting against your own self. You're fighting against your own self, and you're sitting there and trying to find ways to wiggle out of it. You can't wiggle out of this. And I say before God, the Word's trying to help you. That's what I preach. That's what I teach. I went back to school not to impress people with my education, but to let people know I know what the original words mean and say, and they are inspired. Numbers 19, 1 through 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, and saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, which is in no blemish, and on which never came yoke. Now this red heifer was not allowed to have more than two white hairs on it. Whole body, two white hairs. And it was even better if it didn't have any. I can't go back and prove to you that this one didn't have any, and this one had two, and this one had one. They didn't keep a record like that. But it had to be that way. They say, well, boy, that's really something. Yeah, that red heifer was. No, it was a shadow. Bible says it was a shadow. Bible indicates it was an ordinance, not a sacrament. But what did it picture? The only perfect man who was God, who is God, and who the red heifer shadow pictured. The red heifer was helpless. If you even leaned on it, it disqualified it to be offered. The red heifer was absolutely helpless. Jesus emptied Himself and became all that was needed for you not only to go to heaven and be there eternally, but also to enjoy the rewards of the inheritance as much as you are willing to obey them in the way they were given. We are not legalists. We do what God says because we believe it. He says, and ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, and he may bring her forth without the camp. Listen, the red heifer was crucified without side the camp of the tabernacle. He died for all men. And anybody doesn't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But if you don't do what God wants you to do, What in the Sam Hill do you expect to receive for reward? Do you think he is an unjust God? Do you think that God in his own eyes must not be justified? How's he going to reward you for something you didn't do? Think about it. Now, what did Paul say? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You want to hear the gospel? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. I'm well educated and all that pizzazz too, but I don't teach my own wisdom. I learned to do that. Leonard helped me a lot to do that. So did all the other preachers I sat under. And I do not trust my own wisdom. I trust the wisdom of God. I ask God for wisdom, discernment, and understanding in His Word, from His mind, and not of my own. Now, I'm going to tell you, those are not sacraments, baptism. But do you expect God to reward you for not being baptized when it's put in there as an ordinance? Don't you think that has something to do with the reward? And is the reward not how much of it you claim by your conduct in obeying the commandments that God gave you? Did he not say that teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age? Is that not why I'm assembled here this morning? How did I know that? God taught me. I didn't teach myself. God taught me. The Bible taught me. You say, well, that's not the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And not anything made that was not made without the Word. The Word is the Logos. Jesus has many names. Look over in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Just look over there for yourself. I mean, look at Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 and read what that says and tell me that is not what that means. Listen, you may have been taught something different from what I'm teaching here right now all your life. Look over there at Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 and read it for yourself. And tell me that that child in the manger was not the everlasting God, was not Almighty God, was not the Counselor, was not the Comforter, was not the Prince of Peace. You dare and tell me that he was not. Wait until you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You may be saved. I don't doubt that. There's a lot of saved people in other churches. But when you stand before that judgment seat of Christ, you better be certain about the way you interpret that, and you better consider that what you've been taught all your life since you got saved in some other church has to be true. It only has to be true if God says it's true, and there it is. You say, why are we being so loud? Because I want to burn this. I want this to be burned in your heart by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's why. He says, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar, the priest, shall take of the blood with his finger and sprinkle of the blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. That's the number of perfection. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Now listen to this. Her skin, her flesh, her blood with her dung. As I told you last Sunday. No offense, but I tell you what I'm looking at right now at every one of you. I tell you what you're made up of, what's sitting out there right now, an outer covering, skin, like the offerings that were made by Abel. I tell you what's sitting out there also, a body full of water and a body full of blood, just like came out when the Roman soldier pushed it into the side of Jesus to let us know this is a man. But he was God. He's the God-man in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And now in heaven, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him spiritually. He's God. No doubt about it. You better think this over. If you don't believe it, you better find a good reason to disprove what I'm saying, because I'm going to have to answer for teaching this, and you're going to have to answer for not believing it, or vice versa, And I've got my mind made up, and it was made up by the Bible and the Spirit of God. And you better consider this. He says, well, what else is out there? You're full of dung. You're full of dung. Right now, I need to go back there and relieve some of it. But I'm hoping I can hold it in until I get through with this. Listen, you're full of dung. Do you know what they did with this red heifer? They burnt her to a crisp. I mean, there wasn't nothing left. They left the dung in her. They left everything on, and they burned her to a crisp. How much power does a red heifer have burned to the crisp? Well, they took her dung. They took her dung out, and they made a canister to put it in. And that was made of dung. You say, I bet it smelled awful. No, you burn stuff, and it don't smell awful. And after a while, you don't smell anything at all. Then they took all that was left. I don't know how tall the canister was. This tall, that tall, that tall. I don't know. They don't. Sometimes I wonder about the dimensions. Anyway, whatever the Bible says, that's what it was. And down inside that ash, that container made of the ashes of the red heifer, did you know that they gave the priest who were responsible for the ordinances? Do you know that every place in Israel, every division in Israel, small, large, in between, had a priest? They would come for all three of the sacraments. They would be given a piece of that, those ashes between their finger, and they would bring down a container, and they would sprinkle it in the water in that container, and they would take it back home with them. And when someone came confessing their sins, they would sprinkle that water on. Did that take away their sins? Did Israel all go to heaven because they got this sprinkling? No! Israel went to heaven because they believed God. And Seth believed God. And Abraham believed God. And Adam and Eve believed God. And Jehovah God is in Genesis 1. Salvation has always been in the seed, even though the people did not understand exactly what it was. They believed God. So, I tell you, this red heifer is a pretty important thing, but it's only important because it pictures Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the law and the shadow of the law extending over all generations. He says, and Eleazar shall, and one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin, her flesh, her blood, and with dung shall he burn. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You say, well, the father was the one who led us to Jesus. I know. That's what Jesus said. You say, what does that mean? It means that God resurrected himself. You say, I never heard that before. Well, consider it. This isn't some new doctrine. The churches have forsaken the doctrine that was once delivered to the churches. Jesus said that the Father would lead those who would listen to him. And then Jesus said he would lead us to God. Did he not say those things? Do you not know these things? Have you not studied these things? Or have you believed the teachings of men and the abilities of men to mislead you? You're the only one who can make that decision. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. His seed was him, God. There is no Trinity. There are three offices, and one God fulfilled all three. He shall prolong his days forever, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Numbers 19:10. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes, and be unclean unto the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel, unto the stranger that sojourneth among them, for a statute forever. Now, that says statute. So what's a statute? Strong's exhaustive concordance. Number 2708. Custom. Manner. Ordinance. Have I misled you? Have I not shown you something by at least giving you a validation of it? The ashes of the red heifer are the Old Testament picture of God's everlasting statute, kaphar seed. Kaphar means covering, and that's what the animal sacrifices were, and they pictured what the seed was going to do. They told what the seed would do, who was God and is God and always has been God and always will be God. They pictured what the seed was going to do as the kaphar, the skin coverings, complete cover. You say, well, I bet that took a lot of study. I bet what you believe didn't take a lot of study. I bet you just believed to some preacher that believed him, and you put your confidence in what he said, and you finally brainwashed yourself to believe what you do. And I'm warning you. Now, I'm not warning you. The Bible's warning you. You better wake up. That endures forever in him and in his glorification. Did he not say that when he ascended into heaven, they would be glorified in him, he would be glorified in them, they would be glorified in Abraham, they would be glorified? Did he not say that? Did he not picture he's God? You say, well, I was real happy just when I was saved. I know you didn't have to do anything. You just worked real hard and you figured maybe you could do enough to be saved, and surely you, as an outstanding Christian, would be able to do enough. You had a high opinion of yourself. Get off your high horse. And the red heifer, she's helpless. She's helpless. She only pictures something. But Jesus isn't helpless. You say, how do you know that? What did he say just before he gave the Great Commission? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Who are you trusting in? The seed? Or your pastor? Or your own wisdom? Quit it. Get out of it. You're no better than a Catholic church member that never mind. There are lots of people in the Catholic church going to heaven. But how much of a reward are they going to get when they get there? When their baptism was unscriptural. And when they served for attention, recognition, and praise. You say, how do you know that's true? I did it. And I stopped. And I found peace with God. I hope you do too. That endures forever in him and in his glorification, which provided our eternal covering by his flesh covering, and in his water and blood that was contained inside it. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. You say, nobody in the Old Testament understood it. David did. Psalm 32, 1 through 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whom spirit there is no guile. Aren't you glad you don't have any guile? I'm your pastor and I'm full of it. I'm also full of dung. I don't have any power to save myself. I don't have any power to keep myself. You say, well, can you ever keep the ordinances? Once in a while, I just keep going. But do I ever fail? Do I ever have to confess my sins before God? Yes. Do I try to obey the ordinance? Yes. But when I fail, I have an advocate with the Father. God himself. And listen, you better wake up. Now here's another thing about the Old Testament. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now listen to me. I don't know how you feel about this, But God's not going to impute any sin to me that would send me to hell. And God's not going to impute any sin unto me that would cause me to lose any rewards down the line. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not sin, will not impute sin. I'm not going to hell. Are you sitting there believing you can go to hell? Have you got any defense against this? I mean, honestly, you say, well, you're hurting my feelings. I listen. How do you think I got saved? How many times did I get my feelings hurt? Because I didn't believe you could. I thought, and my son Michael went over into the East Coast where the Baptist churches are, and he went to a missionary Baptist church, and they had a Sunday school class teacher that was teaching that you could lose your salvation. He was teaching it. And so I said, well, do any other classes do it? And I said, ask them. About half the class believes you could lose your salvation. This was a missionary Baptist church, and I knew the guy in school when I went to school with him. Ask Michael about it. I sent him all the books I could find that taught that you can't lose your salvation. All I'm certain of is I'm not going to hell. Being baptized does not add to Christ's righteousness, neither to keeping the ordinances. But if you expect a reward in heaven, you better start obeying the Lord even if you are saved. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, I'd sure like to get down to all this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this on the back of the one I've got for next week. I better put that on there. If Rosie doesn't show up. Go out and get it.